basketball team. We've got some great players, and now they have a great coach as well, as Chase Cole will join us here in a few minutes. 27-year-old from Birmingham, Alabama, having an opportunity here to coach our ABA basketball team. And really, wherever he's been, it's been an exciting show to watch. And Curtis Beasley, great to see him again in here in the house, and always bringing a lot of energy and love here. Curtis, great to see you, man. How you been?
Hey, good seeing you, man. Doing great, man.
Yeah.
Like I said, big things going on, you know. ABA is up and coming. Mm-hmm. Pensacola Lightning, we've been here 5 years. This is our fifth year. So it's been, you know how Pensacola is, man. You know, if you don't have MLB in the front or NBA in the front, you know, you're gonna get that, you know, you're gonna get that kind of soft response. So hopefully this year, you know, more preferably this year, we're gonna have big excitement, you know, a lot of energy. Like I said, we got Chase as our head coach. We have Chris Long as our general manager. It's called, see, these are positions that we didn't have for the past 2 years. So we was player coaching. If you know anything about sports, player coach does not work.
It's tough. It's tough, and on top of that, a lot of times, you know, you'll go out there and when you're coaching, you're saying, I want to run this. So sometimes right. It's like, give me the ball, because what's going through my brain as a coach is what I want to run with the ball, and maybe right. That's not the best way for the teamwork and chemistry. It's, you know, one of the guys too, Fred Barnett, who runs Pensacola Jets.
Right.
Fred, you know, does that a lot of times, right. And he stopped doing, I think, the player coach thing as
it's
well.
Tough.
But, you know, talking about the league, because, you know, that's one of the reasons why we're here. We can click right. On and Feinbaum right now will be talking name, image, and likeness, and a couple Oklahoma and Texas fans now
right. That
are joining, like they've
How
been part of the
one?
SEC. I don't know.
How about that one?
I joked because I think it's a mixed reviews, and I said as a joke next year, if you go to an Oklahoma and Texas game and like just wear a neutral, like that hat that that they had in the what's the guy, the actor that never ages, but he had the hat that just said NFL last year. Drew, you know what I'm talking about? The actor, he was in Tommy Boy, the guy that gets bit by the dog. He was the
Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
Oh, Rob.
He wore a hat that just said NFL on it, and he was getting like called out in the stands.
Yeah,
but just wear an SEC shirt and right. Go to an Oklahoma Texas Red River Shootout and just go, come on, everybody, SEC, and see. Probably everybody's like, shut up. Like, we don't have time. But you're part of them now. 2025, they're coming around. It's going to take a little while to adjust to that one. They sort of like the whole Missouri and situation with Texas A&M because they're like, that's cool. You guys do your thing. Roll Tide, we're still winning titles,
right.
LSU. Like, they weren't going to get in the way. Oklahoma and Texas bring a little more of that appeal, like, hey, maybe watch out, you know,
right.
Taking a few more titles. But I think it's going to – life is changing real quick. And I think after 2020, what we realized, I did in this job where there was literally nothing going on. I remember watching Providence and St. John's in basketball, mm-hmm. And we look up, and it's halftime, or it was Creighton and St. John's, and we look up, it was halftime, and then nobody comes back on the court.
Right.
The fans are out there. We call it – like Friday the 13th, we call it Thursday the 12th in this
right,
business, where
right.
It just everything stopped. And then I'm watching a chimpanzee play a guy in ping pong in Belarus. I'm not sure if that was legal, but there was nothing going on, literally nothing going on. And it's always great to see things that are starting to get back out, and people mm-hmm. want to get back out. We know the safety, things are happening around, but people, life is still happening. Our governor
right.
has backed that and saying things are going to happen. We're going to have events, and people are going to get back out. That's part of being in Florida. But when it comes down to the games and talking about it, getting people involved in it is something that we're here for
right.
the local community in sports. Mm-hmm. How can they get involved, not only maybe coming out to the games, but even if they, you know, want to come out and maybe watch a practice or get, you know, just get involved in general, sponsorships, anything with
yeah,
the team?
Well, with that, we have two programs. We have a mm-hmm. kid, we have a kids club, and that's one where the kids get involved. You know, the kids are paid, the parents are paid like $20 for the kids. All right, the kid is free for he get into the game every game free. He brings a friend with him. That friend gets in for $5. So then, but that kid, he gets a T-shirt. They have their own little section. You know the Lightning kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're over there in their own little section. And then for the parents, you have the Fast Break Club. So and the kids come to all the practices. If we have they be the ball boys and all that kind of stuff. Halftime activities, you know, the big shoe
mm-hmm.
race or the big jersey stuff, that stuff they do at UWF. And then you got the parents with the Fast Break Club, same concept. So, but the parents would be, they'll get 10% off like food, apparel, and things of that nature. So, like, and then they can pretty much we're looking for like a game announcer. Mm-hmm. You got a great voice for that too, man. Game announcer, you know, the what is that other one? Well, just game day operations.
Yeah.
Game day operations, you know, so and because it's a small market. It's a small market. So whatever we can get our hands on in the way of volunteers, you know, we're looking for that. So, you know.
Yeah. Drew's got a good voice too, and he went to he's, you know, from Indiana, big basketball, Butler, Indiana
I
stuff.
Am, yeah. I'm from, Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah.
We just came from Fort Wayne yesterday.
Oh, seriously?
We just came from Fort Wayne yesterday.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, my son been up there. But that's, I mean, you know, it's, I mean, it's been a journey, like that. It's been a journey, man. I mean, you know, because I'm for the love of basketball, I'm all about ball.
Yeah.
I love basketball. Like I was telling the interview the other night, I'm a track. I mean, I ran track at Escambia, you know. I love football, but basketball has me, you know, it has me in his grips because of my son, Tanner.
Yes.
So when he played ball, I was, you know, one that basketball parent. So, you know, and that's what I did. So when I retired from the fire department, I decided to do basketball.
Thank you for your service to helping.
Yeah,
you know,
you.
Like we said, we can't. Our first responders can't thank them enough, especially, you know, while everybody else was – we had a pass from Homeland Security to go anywhere, but I'm like, for what? To talk sports? To, like, what, the geese that are out there? Like, there's nothing – I mean, we – some people took advantage. One guy was, like, out there and, like, on the beach by himself, like, hey, guys, anything back in, like, March of 2020.
Wow.
I was like, not a good look, everybody. But but for the same part, it was – the only thing that was nice is going down Davis Highway and not seeing any traffic. That was the only thing that I'll say was nice. But overall – it was a crazy year, but the thing with, like you were saying, having the opportunity to get out and about and play basketball, it's the one sport where I feel that no matter what your age is, like I wanted to get back and lose a couple pounds and get myself into better shape and things like that, and I hate running, like meaning it's a punishment, but I'm also like the puppy dog that if you put the bacon on the string, it's going to run for hours and not realize, like meaning that I will just, if you put a basketball in front of me, I can run probably, even if I haven't run or done anything, I'll run 9 miles. One time I wore a Fitbit just seeing at the Y.
What?
And I ran like 8.7 miles, not even knowing it that day, just because we were running. We stayed 3 hours up there and played. And I was on a team that had some good players, so we stayed on the court. But overall, help to me. I was a clapper
works.
In the corner.
That works.
Back screens and stuff like that. But overall, it's something where I think, you know, baseball, you got to get a team together unless you're going to throw against a fence and really get the neighbor ticked off. Or, you know, tennis, you can hit against the wall, but tennis usually got to get a membership or that. You don't have to, but it usually takes more than one. Basketball, you get out there any park, any place. There's gyms everywhere. Pay a dollar. Go shoot baskets. Work on your game. Get yourself into shape. Hand-eye coordination. It works on everything. And, you know, I think this year was one of the best examples this year in the NBA because there wasn't really – that star power that we've seen, like those Lakers squads or some of those Bulls squads or even dating to the Spurs squads. It was more of a, you've got Giannis coming around and, you know, at one point they were calling him the Robin to Middleton's Batman, and then this guy's blocking shots in his 7'3 wingspan.
Right.
But it was two teams that weren't at the beginning of the season expected just to dominate the competition. We all thought Brooklyn, if they could stay healthy. And it was if Kevin Durant just wore a shoe size a little less, and maybe they would have been. But it's something where I think we realize that the epitome of still, even in today's world, the team can still beat the powerhouses without the chemistry.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we're seeing that with Team USA a lot in the Olympics, is a lot of these teams, these squads that play together or they're putting a little more together, where these guys are all saying, hey, we're a bunch of ballers. But when you got Devin Booker, Jason Tatum, Kevin Durant and Damian Lillard on the court, sometimes that's tough because they're all alphas. So, when you're an alpha, you know your role. Like Bruce Bowen knew in the corner, like, I'm doing this. I'm going to play good defense. PJ Tucker, you're going to get three shots. And if one of them goes in, it's a good one. But if you have four guys used to taking 20 shots, how do you, they might pass up open looks because they feel almost guilty. Like, hey, I've got Devin Booker standing wide open too. So it's tough sometimes in that regard. But I want to get back on track here with the team and talk a little bit about the season and bring on Chase here as well. But, man, Curtis, it is always great catching up when it comes down to the team. And we're looking forward to that. So I'll talk to Coach here for a second if that's cool. And then, all right, we'll get that going here as Chase Cole joins us here. The 27-year-old coach from Birmingham, Alabama, and I'm sure So I'm thinking, Coach, based on that, you're just a huge LSU Tiger fan, right? Probably. Is that not even close? Am I off on that? Okay, I'm just joking with you. I'll give you.
If the mask doesn't give it away, go outside and look at my truck.
I'll give you a roll tide on that. If you can bring your mic up just a bit. Sorry about this. We have to. Okay, cool. You know, get the whole Joe Buck, Troy Aikman thing going with that. So, when it comes down to, first off, how's everything going? It's not like you're too far away. You spent most of your time in Alabama and coming over, but the South Alabama area as well. But we're all sort of one big brethren down here. You know, you meet people. I drive in from Bruton and Atmore and Op and all over, go to Mobile. So it's all one big community when it comes down to it. But what brought you here and in the sixth season to come through here? The opportunity not only to coach a team, but also to gain a lot of exposure for, as Curtis said, for a group of kids and a group of, well, players that have an opportunity to continue their career and pursue it. Just talk about coaching the professional ABA team here with the Pensacola Lightning.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a great opportunity. I really want to thank Curtis and the whole entire Lightning organization for bringing me on and trusting me with this. Honestly, it's just wanting to give back to the game. I grew up, my dad was my first coach, and he was the one that really taught me that passion and that drive. And that's one thing that you can't coach. And so, you know, I knew that when I was coming down here, I wanted to get into coaching and give back that love and that passion. But I knew after my three seasons with Alberta, I knew that my talents were needed on a bigger scale. So I reached out to Curtis, was just like, hey, not sure if you have a coach, if you need any kind of help. And we interviewed, he said he was looking for a coach, and, you know, it just kicked off from there.
And talking about coming into this situation, knowing that a lot of these players, they might have come from different success lines and pedigrees. I mean, some of them might have been stars in college, at the high school level, all over, but having the opportunity to all come together and play. When it comes down to that, what is the coaching philosophy? Everybody has, you know, Greg Popovich is known very maybe methodical these days. Who knows? He looks like he's going to the Hamptons sometimes, how he's dressed. But overall, like his years, great defenses, things like that. And then there's other types of guys that, like D'Antoni, that want to go 100 miles per hour. What type of coaching philosophy do you bring to the table?
That going 100 miles an hour.
I like your style.
I grew up in Birmingham, so me and my dad used to go watch a lot of UAB basketball. Mike Anderson.
Yeah.
Fastest 40 minutes in basketball. And so I grew up kind of that. My high school coaches played that way too. We pressed a lot. And that's always just been my philosophy is – You want to be that first hard knock coach or that first hard knock team. You don't want to give the other team an opportunity to even breathe. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's what we're going to bring to Pensacola. That's what our guys are going to be expected to do is show up, play to the best of your ability, not just playing 100%, but giving 100% 100% of the time. It's easy to give 100% for the first quarter, the last 2 minutes of the game. But we need that energy all 48 minutes of the game. And so how are we going to do that? You've got to have discipline and self-regulation. We've got to be a disciplined team. I preach heavily on great defense. I don't like to give up free points. So that's one thing that we're going to be doing is going to be a lot of defensive with our game. And then the last thing on sort of my philosophy is just you've got to be able to trust in yourself. You've got to go out there, believe that every time we step out on that court, that we're going to win the game. I've always had the mentality of 1-0. So everything that you do throughout the day, you've got to go 1-0. And if we win every single day, Monday through Friday, then when we step out on that court on Saturday, there should be no question in the stands, on the sidelines, if you're watching, there should be no question that this team has given it all that they got.
I like that. See, I went to UCF, and we do that as well. We say we're 1-0, even if we haven't played the game yet. But we at the 1-0 philosophy, you know, we've claimed it already. But you know that as an Alabama fan. So, but when it comes down to it, looking right now, we're just going to take
Eagle
that.
Guys.
Yeah,
you,
okay, yeah. But when it comes down to it,
all right, right.
When it comes down to it overall, when you look right now at what's happening in today with basketball and a lot of these kids coming up, the name, image, likeness, and the situation with a lot of this, you've been around a lot of athletes that, and a lot of the athletes you're going to be coaching that could have got paid for their brand, how good they were in college to the level of playing now at the ABA. But talk about how you feel about it and, you know, being around these kids, because I'll never forget, I sat with Josh sitting, this is before I knew Josh, but he was at UCF and we're sitting there. And I'm sitting next to Josh Sitton. I'm sitting next to Brandon Marshall, the receiver who went on to have a great career, and all these guys. And the teacher gives me, I think he just looked at me and smirked to do this, but I'm the smallest guy in the room. And they pick me to do the thesis paper on why athletes shouldn't get paid. This is 2004. And I'm having to tell them all these guys are going to make millions upon millions why they shouldn't get money. And I had to sit there and tell them. And I was like, they're all looking at me like, all right, what do you got? And I'm like, all right, let's not, like, how can I deflect this attention here? But I think sometimes it's hard because the kids see one thing and the parents and others, but sometimes for the greater good, there's a balance of both. Because what if the NCAA and others just start to take away things that have been given to them, and then all of a sudden, now they're having to find a way to pay for that down the road? Right now, we're just at the beginning. It's sort of the honeymoon period of it. But down the line, we're going to learn a lot about this. And you know, I don't think it's been great so far to see kids getting opportunities to start their own websites, things like that. But we haven't got the whole picture yet until we see the season go through. But Coach, you've been around a lot of these athletes. What did you think when you first heard that?
It is a double-edged sword. I've always thought that college athletes needed to be paid for a long time. The colleges are profiting off of them, so why can't the athletes profit off them? You know, whether it's football, basketball, which is played in both semesters, or baseball that runs into all the way through summer, they don't really have that time to go out, get a job like most students. When they got two-a-days, they got practices, weekday or weekend practices, games, travel. It's, you know, it's just not really, they've just never really had that opportunity to go out and make that money. But on the other side, you know, let me back up. When I first met my wife, she was big into keeping up with the Kardashians, which is basically the main people in the world right now that are based around image, right? And so and that's a real show. People watch that, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, when you go back to that, everybody is concerned about their image now. Like you have back in the day in the NBA, you had competitors, and now you have performers. So, like, I can only think of one time where Michael Jordan actually looked up into the stands, and it wasn't really in the stands. It was he shot the three, looked over at the stands, or looked over on the bench, looked at Magic Johnson, and went like that. Now, all these players, these great players in the NBA, they're getting those and-one dunks, and they're just concerned about the image of it, looking up in the stands, looking at how they look on it. So, you know, I'm glad to see that they're getting paid. It's definitely great for those athletes, but at the same time, they just don't need to be caught up in it and become performers. They need to remember that they are, you know, athletes, and they want to make it to that great the next stage.
Yeah, I've kept up with the Kardashians about as much as I'd keep up with Usain Bolt if we were on the track together. So that's about the same right there.
So I have one question, I guess, before we go to break. I know, so being in Indianapolis, we have a G League team up in Fort Wayne, you know, the Mad Ants, and how much passion that you have to coach at a level that is not the NBA or even at college level or at the ABA level, like here in Pensacola. Just speak on maybe how much passion you have for just the game of basketball this is not about money as much as it is, I want to be involved in the game. Just maybe speak on that and how much it, of an impact you want to have, not just with basketball, but just trying to increase your or showcase your love for the game to, you know, the players and also the people who are going to come to the games as well.
That's a good question. So back to what I said, you know, my
see,
dad.
See, I'm just the comedic relief. He asked the good questions. I just sit back. Yes.
Like I said, my dad was my first coach. So we were always in the gym. He always had me in the gym playing, putting up shots Monday through Sunday, every single day. We were out in the driveway. He'd get home from work, and we'd be putting up shots till about 8 or 9 o'clock, or until he got tired. And then I'd stay out there till 2 a.m. Sorry to any of my neighbors that might be listening right now. But yeah, I mean, it's just that driving passion in me that, you know, I wasn't the one that went to proms. I wasn't the one that went to any kind of homecoming dance or anything. I was always in the gym just trying to get better. You know, I had asked my dad one time, I was like, hey, what's it? Because, I mean, he's a great basketball player. He's won, you know, numerous state titles in the state of Alabama. And so I asked him, I was like, hey, what's it going to take for me to make it to college? He said, you've got to practice at least 2 hours every single day, if not more. And so that's what I did. I put my heart and soul into that. Unfortunately, had knee surgery my sophomore year. A lot of the looks that I was getting kind of went away. But, you know, I always wanted to stay around the game, no matter what aspect it was. But I knew that my IQ, because I've always prefaced that you can't study enough about the game. And so we were always watching NBA. We were always watching college, studying film. You know, my dad would always sit me down and be like, hey, all right, watch this guy. He plays your position. Watch how he does these things. Mm-hmm. And I mean, anything about the game just fires me up. I mean, I have this burning passion that I want to get back and give that same passion back to as many people as I can.
Well, we're excited about it, and like we said, the opportunities to get involved coming up here, the first game's in November, coming up November 6th, as Kurt said, and looking forward to having people get out there. Now, it's going to be, I believe, a Wedgefield Community Center. Have they changed where the venue is going to be?
Yeah, we're going to be – so Pensacola State Milton campus.
Pensacola State Milton campus, okay.
That's where our home games are going to
be at. So the home games will be at Pensacola State Milton. I know exactly where you're talking about right there, right when Avalon, when you come. Yep.
It's a nice facility.
Beautiful facility. So get on out there. If you're listening here, Pace, Milton, anywhere from Cantonment, Gulf Breeze, Pensacola area downtown, get out and watch some great basketball coming up here in November. Chase brings, like we said, an exciting up-tempo type offense and also the experience. And you know, you could just tell sitting around talking to people, you've got that presence where you feel comfortable and confident in what you talk about. And that's something that, you know, you can't teach. So right. you can tell the deer in the headlights, look, you don't have that. So I've had that many times. You do not have that. So, hey, Chase, coach, appreciate it, as always.
Thank you.
Curtis,
thanks for having me
as
on.
Always, thank you again. Absolutely. Roll Tide, War Eagle. Look at that. Play music. Look at that. We got the play music. Keep it going, Curtis. I like that. We'll get that rolling. When we come back, we're going to talk.